As I announced earlier, Reverend Wee Eng Mo is scheduled to speak this afternoon. He, for some reason, probably he has forgotten. Okay, but we couldn't contact him. So, by the grace of God, we shall meditate on the Word of God together. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In the past week, we have been meditating upon this 1 Corinthians, and it is God's providence. As Reverend Stephen Koo mentioned in the past messages, that he has gone through this epistle many times and has preached many times, and somehow in the course of going through this again, he felt very much encouraged. And indeed, it is God's providence. Okay. And that this passage was, series of studies was chosen. It was actually intended for the Mandarin service in the afternoon. Okay. And so towards the end of last year, we felt that, well, probably for the time being, we will just close the Mandarin service. So at that time, the series of messages had been prepared for almost the whole year. Okay, so it doesn't cover the 52 weeks exactly. So we thought, well, this had been prepared. At the time, our brother Peter Poa was assigned to work out on the topics and so forth. And we says, why not use this for the English service? And indeed, it's very fitting and suitable. As we look at 1 Corinthians, we look at the church there in 1 Corinthians. It was a church in Corinth, a cosmopolitan city, very much like Singapore, a port city with many ships coming in and going out, and residents in Corinth itself comprises of those from the Europe, from those from India, and so forth. It was always a mixed community there. And because of the trade that's going through there, it is very prosperous. And in that prosperity, there were many, many problems. And as the gospel came to them, the Apostle Paul was led of the Lord to go up to Europe instead of going east. He was intending to go to east in his missionary journey, but the Lord says, no, please go to the west. So he received what was known as the Macedonian call. So in that Macedonian call, there was a man calling him, please come over to help us. And he went, Philippi, there's Berea, Thessalonica, and on. Each time he preached the gospel, there were mixed reactions. Many people received the gospel, many wanted to hear, and many also opposed it. Some opposed it because of commercial reasons, because, especially like in Philippi, there were a lot of those who were worshipping the gods of the Roman world. And so when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they have to discard the idols. And those idol makers, they felt that their business was affected. And so as a result, they create an uproar, protest against the Apostle Paul. And so he had to move from one place to another place. And finally, he preached the gospel at Corinth, and he came to know the Lord. And that was in the background of this Corinth itself. And so they came to know the Lord, but God has blessed them with many gifts. They have the gift of speaking in different languages. The Bible calls that speaking in tongues. Now, what does it mean by speaking in tongues? It simply, the word tongue simply means language. Okay. In fact, as we look at Acts chapter 2, now Acts chapter 2 gives us a very, very, very clear description, because God in His mercies, in His wisdom, knew what was going to happen in a time like this, where people will say, well, tongues refer not to language. Acts chapter 2 tells us when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, the apostles, they began to speak in tongues. It would be interesting for us to know that the word tongues that's mentioned there comprises from two words. One is from the word glossa. The other is come from dialectoids. Yeah, glossa is basically tongue. The word tongue in generally is used is when you are speaking, you have to use your tongue. Okay, you speak. More precisely, they use the word dialecto, means it transliterates into English as dialect. So in other words, you have a language, you have a different shades of that language itself, is called a dialect. Okay. And so they were at that time Jews that gathered in Jerusalem because it was their annual gathering, the day of Pentecost. And so they all gathered, some from Europe, some from India, and all different parts of the world they gathered because they were all well dispersed in different places. And so they came together and then they heard the apostles speaking. And they were saying, how come they are speaking our own language? Some of them perhaps say, how come these apostles, they are Galilean? You know, Galileans are basically fishermen. They are lowly educated. And how come they are able to speak Spanish? How come they are able to speak the Indian language? Okay, and so on. And so it tells us that basically these tongues that is in the Acts of the Apostles are tongue languages which anybody else can understand, and not otherwise. And so the church there in Corinth, they were well endowed with all this. They were rich. They have many blessings because of the location. Many preachers passed by them. And so as a result of that, some of them felt, well, because of their influence and so on and so forth, they began to have faction in the church. And we read and listened to that in the past, that, well, there were some who said, well, we are of Apollos. You know, Apollos is a very eloquent man. He speaks very well. Okay. Well, then there are some who say, well, I am of Cephas. You know, Cephas, Peter, Simon Peter is one of the pillars in Jerusalem. So, some, of course, claim to be of Paul. Okay. Well, Paul, why is his dynamic? You see, well, in the Gentile world, many came to know the Lord through the Apostle Paul. Are we our Paul? Of course, some say, well, yours is nothing. Mine is of Christ. There were many factions. And that was something that was characteristic of the church there and then. And is also a characteristic of many of the churches today. We tend to be following people instead of following our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We tend to think, well, this person speaks well. I just follow after this person. Our focus must always be upon God Himself and not on men. And so that gives us the background to many of the problems that was in Corinth. And then we come to chapter 3. In chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells them that you have many teachers among you. But the problem is that you are spiritual babe. There are many things which I want to teach you regarding the spiritual truth, but you are all not ready. That was what he mentioned in chapter 3, verse 1. He said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, meaning spiritually mature. Okay. They are believers. Okay, they were believers. But the Apostle Paul says, I'd rather speak to you more deep things of God, you were not able to accept. But unto as carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with meat, but for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. You're not able when I was there. Now you are still not able. You are still spiritually immature. They were stagnant in their spiritual life. They are still babes. They were still carnal. Why? How do we know that in this case? In verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. contrasting with spiritually mature. How do we know? He says, for whereas there is among you envying. I think this is a checklist for each and every one of us. Within the church of God, God has given to each one of us different gifts. What we should do is to complement one another. We should be rejoicing in the gift that God has given to each other. Not all of us is able to do the various things to all in one. Some are able to sing well, some do not. I don't sing well, for sure. Okay. But some of you sing well. I'm not envious because, well, you sing well. And so, well, thank God that you are able to sing well. I will encourage you to sing more. Join the joyful singers. Okay. Even at worship service, even during praise of God, sing it out unto the Lord. Some of you are able to minister among the children. Not everybody is able. Children. To bring the word of God in simplicity, to break it down in a way that the children can understand. Some of you are able to bring to the children, but not to the younger children, the preschoolers. Preschoolers need another special gift to be able to minister to them. So in the church, we have different people. Some are very good in welcoming people. I think all of us would agree, you know, that especially in the visitations, we all agree that, you know, especially for elders here, he used to, you know, do visitations. In the visitations, he would go to a total stranger, invited to say, well, some member of the church said, please come to the hospital. My father is in hospital. He's unwell. Please come. Total stranger. Within 5 minutes, they are old, as if like old friends. The way he can communicate with them. That is elders here. Okay. That's special. And as I remember, there was once Reverend Stephen Crew was mentioning about this. I'm not too sure whether it was at our camp or one of the service. So he was saying that, well, he went visitation with elders here. He was tongue-tied, don't know what to talk. Elders here, 5 minutes. As if they're old friends. Communicating. So what he do? He just stand there, stand by there, praying. Okay. Instead of saying, oh, how come he gave this gift? I don't have this gift, and so on. You pray, and then at the right time, maybe I'll just say, Reverend Koo, would you like to share something? You know. And then he just comes in. So all of us are gift in one way or another. Okay. That is how God put us together. In other passages, we are told that, well, the body is not all hands. The body is not all feet, you know. If all feet, everybody will be walking, nobody do anything, right? So all of us come together, we complement one another. And we must understand that. And we come together because God has put us together. And put us together as an assembly. This assembly is called a church. The word church means ecclesia, means a group of people who has been called out. We, corporately, are a church. We are a church of Jesus Christ in Calvary Tengah. I think it was the last time that Reverend Koo spoke to us and says that, well, we must always, sometimes we forget that this is the church of Jesus Christ. I don't like your face, I don't want to come. Why are you here for in the first place? You are here to worship God. You are here to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The Lord who in mercy came down from heaven's glory to save you and I. Who shed His precious blood on the cross of Calvary for you and I. Therefore we must recognize that. And so He says that one of the problems that was in the church in the Corinth, and something that we must watch out for ourselves as well, is envying. Are you envious? How come many people talk to this person? Let so few people talk to me. Envious. Right? You know, at the bottom lines of this envy is basically pride. Envying the next level. With envying, you will likely to promote the next thing, will strive. Finding fault with one another. Because you're envious, you so when you're envious, you start to look at the weakness of the other person. You're very critical towards the other person. And there will be strife. Are you envious of anybody? Is there something in you? Perhaps you don't speak out openly. Does it something? Is there something in your mind? You start to look at somebody, this person. I have some suspicions concerning him or her or whatever it is. That is strife. Division. Of course, you see, you know, you have envy, you walk out to a strife, and there's strife. What else? There will be division. And so the Apostle Paul says, do you have this in you? He told the Corinthians, he said, I heard about it and I saw it in you. So he says that, for ye are yet carnal. And then he ended up with that, are ye not carnal? Am I not correct to say this at least about you? And you walk as what, man? Okay, when he's talking about here as man, is simply saying that you are worldly. As if those you are non-Christians. As though you are not saved. And so with that, he began to help them to straighten their mind. He said, who is Paul? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But these are servants. The word ministers means servants. Diakonoi. Okay, or singular, diakonos simply means servant. Okay. Who then is Apollos? Who then Apollos? But servant. Someone that God, in His mercy, in His grace, was willing to use. You know, as we think about this, when you are serving in any area in the church, always remember this. It is not because, well, you are capable, you are good. But it is in God in mercy has allowed you to be used. And so it is with this that the Apostle Paul says, what? By the grace of God, I am what I am. I'm able to do all this because of the grace of God. All of us don't deserve to be used of God. The Apostle Paul says, well, because I persecute the church, I'm a sinner, I'm the chief of sinners. Do you not agree with him? I say it among myself. I'm worse than the chief of sinners. I don't even qualify to call the chief of sinners. I don't know how to describe it. Ain't God in mercy save these wretched sinners? Work in my life and use me. All that I can use, it is all by the grace of God. And as I think especially of the grace of God, many of us who in time past, I say time past because it's really time past, we used to go to Jordan, right? As you go to Jordan, I remember the first couple of years we went there. Many of us who went there for the first time share our testimony in Mandarin. It's really, really, if you look back, okay, it's really horrible. Okay. And sometimes dialects mix into the language itself. I remember someone was saying to turn on the light, Kai Tang. Kai Tang. Okay. So, but the thing was that God in His mercies used us. I mean, it definitely is not because of our eloquence. It's definitely not because we are able to articulate very well, very systematically, and so on and so forth. It is the work of God. Many of the sisters there and then were very, very encouraged. Sometimes, even by our mere presence there, they were very encouraged. A couple of years ago, when to China, one of them shared, yeah, I know, during those times, sometimes I don't understand what you're talking about. We were very encouraged. Who? This group of Singaporeans, now come all the way to where? Jordan. Yeah. They call it 鸟不生蛋的地方. A place that even birds also don't want to build their nest there. And you're willing to come all the way to where? Jordan. to visit who? People that you do not know, strangers. But it is all by the grace of God. And so as the Apostle Paul says, who then is Paul? Who is then Apollos? But servants, ministers by whom ye believe. God used me, us as instruments to share the gospel. How do you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I am able to speak well and convince you? No, God work in your hearts and salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. So you may be able to speak well, nobody comes to know the Lord. Jonathan Goforth was a man mightily used of God in Scotland. Revival, a lot of people repented and come to know. Then the Lord later on started to go to China. He put on the pigtail and reached out to the people. How many come? Very, very, very. Initially, nothing, zero. We are talking about man abilities and so on and so forth. Well, he should be able. But it is because of God's working in England, in Scotland, because of God's working in the hearts of the people. Salvation is of the Lord. And so it says, we are just ministers by whom ye believe. We are just mere instruments. And so here is a point of encouragement for us. Every month we'll go out to the neighborhood to evangelize. Okay. Always remember, you are just a servant. As an instrument that God used to go out to share the gospel. Go and knock the door. They open the door. They're willing to listen. Stop. They say, sorry, I'm not interested. And give them a tract. And then, thank you, and move on. Or even sometimes, give the tract, they say, no, I'm not interested. Take back your tract. Don't get dirty my place. But we just do what we need to do. And not only that, in our own personal life, to your relatives, to your friends, to your colleagues. You know, some of our colleagues, we talk to them every day. We talk about everything in the world except Jesus Christ. Is that not true? We talk with them with love and so on, but never mention Jesus Christ. I think it's time for us to think about this. Sometimes why we do not talk about Jesus Christ? No conviction? You are not grateful to the Lord who saved you? Or you are fearful? It could be a multiple of these factors. But the thing is that if you know the salvation of the Lord, I'm not here to so-called convert you. I can't. I'm here to be a testimony. I share with you what I learned of the Lord, how God has blessed me, how God has helped me and used me. And God gave me more opportunity to talk more, I talk more. And it is through this actually that many are added. That was how the church in the first century grew. Were they able to openly go out everywhere? No, they were, remember, persecuted church. That was how the church in China grew during the times of when the communists took strict control with the Cultural Revolution. All missionaries chased out, churches closed down, those who seek to be loyal to the Bible were thrown into prison. How did the gospel spread? It's through personal evangelism. To friends, in contact, they say, well, the Lord has been good to me. As they talk to each other, they share. God used that means. That is why the Lord tells us we are to be what? Weaknesses. What is a weakness? Someone who sees something, who hears something, experience, and then share with someone. That's all. Nothing else. You remember the occasion about this, the man who was possessed in a place called Gadarenes. It was a pagan Gentile world. Okay. Every day he would scream and shout. He couldn't stay in at home. And they had to chain him up, but the chain was no use because he was possessed. And so he was able to break the chains. And every day he would cut himself and he would be sleeping among the tombs and so on and so forth. But the Lord went there for a purpose for this man's salvation. He don't have to go all the way there, isn't it? He intentionally went there for this man. And this man came to know the Lord. He was delivered of the demon possessions. And then what happened was that the news spread out in the whole city. Good if farm would be an outlying area, but so in the city. And so the news spread, and all the people came out, and suddenly what they saw was this man who was previously naked, who was very violent, the face you can see, wow, very, very fierce. Hey, totally different. This man was sitting there sober. Okay. Previously maybe his hair was maybe now combed. Right? Okay. Sitting there quietly, sober. And for them, they were what? Were they happy about this? No, they look around and says, the swine. What happened to this swine? Where is my swine? You know, they're Gentiles, so they're real pigs. All distracted. They were the those who they are working to take care of the swine say, sorry, boss, all gone. All went down to the sea. You see, all of them floating in the Sea of Galilee. To them, Jesus Christ was bad for business. And so they asked, the Lord says, please go away. You are not welcome here. You are bad for the economy of this region. So Jesus argued, no. Jesus said, well, I achieved my purpose. Now I go. Okay, you want me to go? I go. Got on the boat. As he was about, he go into the boat. This man who was previously possessed now, came to Jesus. Say, Lord, I want to follow thee. What did the Lord tell him? Come on board. This place, they don't welcome you. Let's go together. No, the Lord didn't say that. The Lord said, you stay put. Don't follow me. What you need to do? You go back to your home, your villages. Tell them what good things the Lord has done for thee. It has been good to thee. That's all. Now, this man has just came to know the Lord. Did he go to any BBK class? Did he go to any discipleship class? Did he go to any Bible training? Zero. The only thing he had was a personal witness of what God did in his life. And so the Lord said, go back. And he obeyed. He went back. He didn't say, but Lord, you know, I'm just a new believer. How they expect me? These people are very hostile, you know. Even they chase you away. How about me? Previously, they are already not in good terms with me because previously I was possessed. Okay. They're all fearful of me, but you know. But the Lord said, you go back. He went. And the Bible tells us he went around spreading the whole region based on what? His personal witness, his testimony. And so we can be instrument use of the Lord. And so the Apostle Paul says, we are by who? But ministers, servants of the Lord, that's all. I have planted. Verse 6, I have planted Apollos watered, but who? God gave the increase. Salvation is of the Lord. So neither is he that planted anything, and neither is he that watered, but God that giveth the increase. God is the one who gave the increase. Salvation is of the Lord. Any blessings that come out of anything, it is of the Lord. God gave the blessings. As we serve the Lord, things goes well. Thank God, it is God who has blessed you. Be thankful to the Lord. It is God who has blessed. It is God who has given. And let us be thankful and grateful. And so he went on to emphasize on this in verse 8. He said, now he that planted and he that watered are one. What does it mean, are one? We complement one another. When you complement, you are one. Okay. But if you don't compliment, you are many. Okay, you do this thing, I do this thing. The right hand do this, the left hand do this, the leg do that, and so on. So each one compliment one another. So you are what? One. Okay. And that is what the Apostle Paul mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, telling us concerning the fact that there must be that endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why? He subsequently mentioned about, well, because there's one Lord, one baptism, and so on and so forth. Now, so it says that they are but one. Okay, so we continue on. It says that every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. As you labor on, God will reward each one of us. There is a reward for each and every one of us. Not that so much as we do it because of the reward, but it's a motivation for us. Because this is what the Lord tells us. Okay. We can expect, we can look forward to the reward that God has for us. Now, the reward here has to talk about the bema seat of Christ. As believers, you are not facing the Lord at a great white throne of judgment. Great white throne of judgment will determine whether your name is written in the Lamb's book of life or not. If it's not, you'll be thrown into the lake of fire, suffering there forever. But all of us will come before God, before the Lord, in that bema seat. Bema seat is basically, it's like in a stadium. We are in the arena. All of us are running. At the end of which, someone will receive first prize, second prize, third prize, fourth prize, and so on. And that is the time they come before the Lord. And so here it says that everyone, every man, every one of us will receive the reward. Every believer, every child of God will receive a reward. What kind of reward you have depends on what you are doing in your life. And so it says that, to set the perspective in verse 9, it says, for we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. We are God's building. Always remember, we are laborers, but together with God. God has given us that privilege to work together. We are what? Laborers. We are God's husbandry. We are God's building. And then he went on and says, well, as for him, because he went out to preach the gospel, is that according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, as what any builder would do, lay the correct foundation. His foundation is who? And he went on and says, I've laid the foundation and another builder thereon, but let every man take heed how he built thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. He's already laid. All we need to do is take in this foundation. What is the foundation? Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the what? Testimony of God. And he went on to tell us about the motivation that you have. For I determine what? Not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. All that I want to know is that, do you know that Jesus Christ came to die for your sin? He was buried, he rose again the third day for your salvation. Have you believed? Have you believed that? Have you received the Lord Jesus? All I want to know basically is that happening in your life. The other thing will be building upon it. And so this is what the Apostle Paul did. He's building on this foundation. There's nothing, no other foundation you can build on. So as we go out, as we talk to one another, first thing we must ask, do you know that Jesus Christ came to die for your sin? Someone comes to you and they say, I'm a Christian. You ask them, do you know that Jesus Christ came to die for your sin? He was buried, he rose again the third day for your salvation, for your justification. Do you believe that? Do you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? If the person has not, sorry, other things are useless, vanity. So that's why it is important. Many of us are parents. First thing we should be concerned about our children is that, do they know that Jesus Christ and him crucified? Have they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? They may be in the church, growing up in the church, serving, learning in Sunday school and growing up. They may be able to memorize verses. They may be able to sing Christian hymns.
And then we are excited to get them to serve in different capacities and so on and so forth. But have they come to know the Lord? If they have not come to know the Lord, then that serving of just good work, thinking that by this good work I can earn my salvation, then that will be the serious error on our part as parents. And so we must ask our children, are they saved? Are you saved? And that's very important, because they may do well in their academics. They may do well in their career. Their academics, the achievements can last them how long? Their career can last them how long? One day they will die. Where will they go? And so that's very important. Beloved, we love our children. Some of us in our midst may have grandchildren. That should be our concern for them. Are they safe? They are never too young to be told the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've shared this before. Ever since young, I was always in hospital. Veterans in hospital. In and out, in and out. Thereupon that, from a human perspective, I almost died. And I saw, the hospital as children. I have friends who are as young, very young. They come to the hospital. We are playing, as a small kid, running around in the ward and so on and so forth. The next day, a few days later, you find that friend suddenly in a bed, very sick. I remember myself witnessing that my good friend, whom we played, because at that time I stayed in the hospital very long, a few months. Typically, hospital don't keep it so long. I was there for nearly 3 months. Went to chemotherapy and so on and so forth. I remember one of a friend. We play around, used to share food. The mother always bring the... At that time, being young, we are poor. We never know about cornflakes. Something very interesting, like crackers to us. Okay. So... And one day, I remember they rushed him and to go to one room. This room at that time, those of you who have been to OOSGH, Outram Hospital, this place called Mystery Wing, okay, building that was built up for the pediatrics ward. I think it was donated by some Jew, the surname Mystery, Mystri. So anyway, so they will go to this particular room, it's glass. So from the outside, we can actually see inside. So I remember he was there, lying there, and then the doctor putting the tube on one hand, and then the other hand, there's also another tube, there's a machine there, and then there's blood flowing, packet of blood coming down one hand, and then after another, the machine there has blood as well. They are trying to do a transfusion, and then cleaning, whatever it is. He had leukemia. At that time, when I was given the mercy, many, many decades ago, right? Okay. I remember it was early in the morning, probably about 4 p.m. or so. So the doctor went to the room and then put a blanket cover his face. And then shut out the machine. So then after that, the nurse had to do work. I remember I was standing at the edge of the window looking. A small kid there, looking there. Then I remember the doctor came out, called him Dr. Chan. He said, Dr. Chan, what happened to him? Why you let him die? Okay. That's but the doctor kept quiet. Let's walk. And then instead of taking a leave, he went down and the staircase down. Person, they die very young. May not necessarily having leukemia, or can be any other things. But the more important thing is that whether it be young or old, one day the person will die. It is appointed on the man to die once. Once you die, then thereafter the judgment. It's your friends, it's your loved ones. has a person come to know the Lord? And that's the most important thing. And so the Apostle Paul said, I'm most interested in this. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Do you know that? That Jesus Christ died for your sin. So he says, I build on nothing else except this. And so it says that, well, as we think that about this, as we build on this foundation, as we share the gospel, as we build up the person, this basic foundation, and then to build them up spiritually, that basic foundation is what? Jesus Christ. As he grew, he came to know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, if any man build any on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest in the day. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. God shall judge it and try every man's works of what sort it is. And here we are told, as we labor on, what is your foundation? What is the intention that you have? Because all of us will come before God at the judgment seat of Christ. How will God see you? What you have done? Answer that before God. You may justify before man, but before God, what will that answer be? What is the motivation? What is the intent in your heart? God sees the heart. God sees the intent. We may put up a front, we may act and so on and so forth, but what is really in your heart of heart? Is it something that's well pleasing before the Lord? And God will judge that day in the Bema Seat. And this is a reality. And many of us don't think of this. Many of us are moved by our own passions, human passion, worldly passions, instead of passion for the Lord. And we forget God. Yesterday we have a Bible study last night. And one of the questions we ask ourselves is, who is God? Many of us can come up with a lot of academic answer. But who is God really to you? Is He real to you in your life? Is He real to you in every situation of your life? Are you conscious that right now, this thing I'm doing right now, God is with me? That He's watching over me, He's seeing my heart, looking at my intention. You may be sitting there, you realize that God is watching over you. All of us might be conscious of that. Who is God to you? And so he says that, well, God will judge that day itself. And here is a very vivid description, said that by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work. Every man's work of what sort it is, God is going to try it out. You can't run away. I can't run away. And we have to be honest before God. We can hide to other people, but we have to answer before God. So it's good for us to actually always pause back and say, why am I doing this thing? And before God, ask Him. And let us have a clear conscience before God. And so it says that, verse 14, if any man works a bite which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Here obviously talking about to believers. Believers, your salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a reward. But your reward, what sort of reward? God will try it out. What they are doing will be wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, precious stone. Which is this? Gold, precious stone will be those things that invest for eternal value. Someone in our midst may be a homemaker. You say, oh, homemaker, nothing spiritual. No! A homemaker may have a greater spiritual report because she is investing on that precious life at home, discipling that child, helping the child to see the truth and come to know the Savior. Yeah, I'm busy at home and I need to do cooking and so on and so on and so forth. You fulfill your responsibility. So down some of us may be serving as green in the greeneries or some other things. What's so spiritual about that? If you don't do these things and so forth, the work in the church may be hindered. So let us be mindful of this. So it says, if any man's work abide, which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's works shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And he went on to remind us something that as we build on this chapter 3, we are reminded here. He says, dearly beloved, know ye not, ye are the temple of God. You come together as a church, you are a building of God. You are all co-laborers. You are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Here, the Apostle Paul was addressing to the Corinthians in general, to all of them, to all the believers there. You know how you build the church, the work, the serving. You must have a correct attitude. Remember, you are the temple of God. God's Spirit abides with you. God is with you. The Lord Jesus Christ, another name is Emmanuel. What is Emmanuel? God with us. Right? We know that God with us. But when you are out there serving, out there doing this and that, you remember, God is with me now. I'm going through a very depressing moment at this point, very discouraging. But hey, God is with me. He's guiding me. He's helping me. I'm going through an exam. It's very stressful. But hey, God is with me. Emmanuel. And here he reminds us, we have the Holy Spirit indwell in us. So I said, know we not? I expect you to know it. The apostle simply says that, I expect you to know. You don't know? It's a rhetorical question. Know we not? You should know, isn't it? Do we not know that ye are the temple of God? All of you come together, you are the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And as we think that God's Spirit dwells in us, we together are the temple of God. Let us work together. Let us strive together for the work of the gospel. Let us strive together to encourage one another. Let us understand and realize that we need one another. Let us realize that we need to depend upon one another. Let us learn to pray one for another. Let us be concerned for one another. You are not an individual. You are the temple of God. You, all of us, together, is the temple of God. And so as we think of ourselves there in the case of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, binding us together as a temple of God, the temple of God in the Old Testament is to shine forth. We have the candlelight shining, the region around supposed to see the light there as a testimony. We're not together as a church, as a temple of God. Work together, complement one another. Put away envy, strife, division, and work together as a temple of God to be a light to shine from the Lord in the neighborhood that God has put us here. There are many opportunities God has given to us. If there are many opportunities, gospel opportunities, Satan will try to oppose. Ever since we know about the opportunities, we find that there are a lot of problems. Satan strives to oppose. If he can put in envy, strife, division, he doesn't do anything else. You cannot be the temple of God. to shine for the Lord. You are ineffective. And so let us, even though right now we might have the reduced strength, but if that reduced strength has one heart for the Lord, God can use us. So let us work together as one heart, one temple, as a temple of God, complementing one another. Always look at the gift of another with thanksgiving. You know, if you have a thankful heart, all this problem will be eliminated. You're thankful that, well, the person can sing well. You are thankful that this person is help serving out in the ashram. You are thankful that this person is doing this. You won't be quarreling. You won't be envious. There's no envious, there will be no strife. No strife, there will be no division. So we must submit ourselves unto the Lord. See, so the Apostle Paul asked this question, and this is something that he's asking us as well. Know we not that ye all over here are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you, in your hearts, and the church, binding the church together. So let us work together. Let us learn to complement one another. It says here in verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, whose temple ye are. And so here it says, well, anybody seek to destroy that temple of God. What does it mean? As we strive, the Apostle Paul in 16 says, well, let us work together. But if there is be among you, he says to the Corinthians, they try to destroy this church, God will deal with him. God will deal with you. You are defiling it. Contrasting to what the church should be. Complementing one another. Working together. But if you strive in any way to do so, otherwise, you are accountable before God. This is the temple of God. This is the church of Christ. We are but the body, the members of this body of Christ. And so here is a warning to those who seek to destroy it. But of course they can't. The Lord says, I will build my church. The gate of hell shall not prevail against it. But here's a warning to those who in any way try to hinder, try to cause problems and destroy this. God says, I will deal with you. And so here is the encouragement for us. As we come together, as we press on to serve with the resources that God has given to us, let's work together. There might be forces, there might be elements that try to destroy it. Don't worry, God will take care of that portion. For on our part, we do what is right before God. Let us work together as a church. Let us strive. Let us remind one another. This is something that we must remind one another time and again and again. Because though we are saved by grace of God, all of us still have that sinful flesh. Sinful flesh has its lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. All this run contrary to the will of God. In that sinfulness, we want to promote self. We love self more than love God. And as a result, we want to have that preeminence. We want people to take note of us. It happens, isn't it? Sometimes we may not want to say it, you know, but when you are doing certain things, nobody seems to notice you. Nobody seems to praise you. A worst thing is if somebody say adverse thing against you. You feel very, very hurt. Am I right? You say, oh, I just want to serve quietly. You know, sometimes when we say we want to serve quietly, yet the bottom of our heart We actually still want people to notice, even in that quietness. So let us be on guard against this. Let's search our hearts this afternoon. And allow the Spirit of God to work in us. A desire that we may be changed by the Word of God. The way to do it is to have a closer walk with God. And that's the closer closing Him afterwards. All of us, let us make it our desire that we want to have a closer walk with God. And let us desire to spend time reading, meditating upon God's Word. How often when we read the Bible, say, I read the Bible every day, no? Half an hour after you have read it, ask you, what have you read? Don't know. Can't remember. Right? And how many of you did devotion this morning? Do you remember what you read? You see, that's the problem with us, right? We read the Bible, let's learn to meditate upon it. So that is why the Bible tells us to meditate upon the Word of God day and night. So how to meditate? You may sit there cross-legged and on the floor. That's not meditation. Okay, that's letting your mind idle. Okay? Meditation is simply to dwell upon it, to ponder upon it, keep on thinking about it. All of us, especially ladies, are expert in meditation. The problem is that you're meditating on the wrong thing. Okay. Men, you see, are simple-minded. Men, okay. You have something very objective. Okay, that's it, you know. Women will say, no, I think there must be something behind, there's something there, something in the background. What? When you think of this is what meditation, do you know that? You just do an analysis of your time. How much time you spend doing all those? A lot of time. You're supposed to meditate on the Word of God day and night. But you're meditating on the issues day and night. Right? Sometimes even your dream, perhaps you still dream about it. Isn't it? So dearly beloved, let us learn to meditate upon the Word of God. Let us remind how to do that. As you read the passage, okay, and reading the end of it, recall maybe one or two points. What is it that I've read? Succinct point, and then from there to think about it, and so that this thing, as you go on the day, you take your bus or whatever it is, you know, you think about this same point. This is how you meditate. Or you write down the verse. Memory verses. Not just memorize for the sake of memorizing the song. The purpose of memorizing is that help you to take a time to meditate upon it. You go to the clinic while waiting long queue. You get yourself angry. Why? No, Nina. No. If you have a card right written down, the verse that you memorize, go through it one word at a time. Go through it first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time. As you read on and on, you will notice something distinctively will come out from it. You say, hey, I didn't notice this thing, no? This is meditation. Okay. So, dearly beloved, we are the temple of God. Remember, the Spirit of God dwelleth in us. Let us work together. Let us encourage one another. Let us build our own spiritual life. Let us have a closer walk with God. And God have mercy upon us as a church. Let us learn to pray one for the other. Again, I want to remind all of us to really make an effort. Not just to make your presence, but really sense that I need God. As a church, as a temple of God, we need God. Come together on Tuesday night to pray. Will you do that?